be here today to preach this word of God to you and pray for the Lord to bless us in a very special way. We at First Baptist, we do this on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Invite your friends to tune in. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're preaching a message on how to stay in touch with God in a moving storm that we're in. I think that'll be an important message for us, how to stay in touch with God. Today, I'm beginning a series on Sunday morning on faith. Today, I'm going to talk about the best faith. I want you to understand this and how it works through our lives. As we travel through this pandemic and the storm throughout this world, I believe two questions surface for almost all of us. Number one, are we going to make it? Are we going to live through this? Personally, is this going to take me out? Is it going to take who out? Number one. Number two, what is life going to be afterwards? What's it going to be like? We're talking about that. We're trying to figure that out. I was talking to Matt today about school and what's going to happen. What's going to be after this is happening? The kids have lost so much and there's so many things going on. So we're trying to figure out what happens when this storm passes by. As I study our Bible, it's a continuous story of storms all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. It doesn't stop. I mean, Adam and Eve, they kind of blew it in the garden, and the first thing happened, Cain killed Abel. Brothers killed each other right there, right in that moment of time. It's always been storms. There's always been tragedies. In Genesis 6, just when things are getting going really good, the world fell into sin, become so raunchy. God literally destroyed the whole world with the flood, except for those who had faith and was part of building a big boat, and they floated off in Noah's Ark. So see, the storms have always been with us and always will be with us. Abraham, working with Lot, trying to help his nephew, he pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And we see in the scriptures how God just continued to take Sodom and Gomorrah and it's gone. So there's always been storms. It's always been radical. There's always been difficulty in our lives. We could talk about them from Genesis to Revelation, storm after storm. But there's a verse I want to give you to help us understand why the storms and about this storm and the storms of our life. In John 10:10, the Bible says, "The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy." That thief is Satan. Satan is out there. As a matter of fact, this whole Bible time, this whole world is a battle between good and evil. I mean, evil is trying to take out the God. He went to a cross to die so he could literally put evil away from us because of grace, because of the sacrifice that he made. His continued battle. The thief is not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says these words, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Let me share this with you. The answer to the question is, if we decide, number one, are we going to make it? Number two, what's it going to be like afterwards? I believe the way to answer that depends on our faith. It depends on our faith in God, because God is a deliverer of his children. Man, miracle after miracle, he parted the seas. He caused all the armies of God to come back together again and restore us. So the answer to the question, if I'm going to make this, it depends on your faith with God. Do you trust him? Do you believe he's a healer? Do you believe that he's involved in our lives, in the storms of our life? I just like to find out. You know, I remember about 8 weeks ago in America, I remember everybody looking at their 401ks and how the economy's going and how it's happened. And it was a peaceful, hopeful time. I mean, hope was high across America. But where is the hope gone? Man, I talk to people who are hopeless. I talk to people who just 8 weeks ago was the hope of the world. Jesus says this, "You can't serve two masters. You cannot serve money and God. You will love one, despise the other." I believe America's hope was in our money. It was in the stock market, in our 401ks, in our successes. And you know what? When that leaves, your hope's gone. But with Jesus Christ, it's bigger than that. He says, "When you serve me, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you." And so the hope that you may be hopeless today in the kingdom of God, nothing has changed. He's still there for us. He wants to bless us. I believe this. You know, when a space capsule goes up into space and it comes back and it comes in the atmosphere, they have a heat shield to protect the people in there from burning up. I believe faith is like a heat shield, keeping our love for God protected in our hearts. Let me say that again. I believe our faith in God is much like a heat shield, keeping our love for God protected. Yes, I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. But boy, when I lose my faith and my faith becomes weakened, I find myself losing potential for love. The Bible says we're to love one another as God loves us. And if we're not enjoying the power of God's love through the agape of our love is faltered because our faith has not protected it. So faith is important. The Bible teaches us about the depth and the quality of faith. When our faith in God is weak, our love for God will be affected. Let me say that again. When our faith in God is weak, our love for God will be effective. It's hard for me to love the unlovable. It's hard for me to pray for those who despise, forsake us when I'm scared, when I'm worried, when it owns me. But when my faith is strong, E.F. Myers says it this way, unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God. Here's Ron Davis, here's the pandemic, and there is God. Unbelief puts the circumstances between us. But listen to what he says. He says, when unbelief puts circumstances between us and God, faith puts God between us and our circumstances. Faith puts God with us to deal with our circumstances. So get that. You may need to write that down. But he says, unbelief puts circumstances between us and God. Faith puts God between us and our circumstances. Greater is he that's in us. Greater is he that he has us. He holds us. He's for us. And we're still here. So God wants to help us in the circumstances. Jesus in the New Testament talks about the quality of faith and the quantity of faith. First of all, he talks about the quantity of it. He says the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. Several years ago, I was in Israel, and I found a whole bottle of mustard seeds. They're little bitty seeds, much like they seem like a tobacco seed. Little bitty seed. The Bible says if you have just as much faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain, and the mountain will be moved. Wonderful things what faith can do. Such small faith, such little faith can do so much with God. He teaches us about the quantity of faith and all that means into our lives. Just a little bit goes a long way. But in Luke chapter 7, I want to read verses 1 through 10. He's going to talk about the quality of our faith. And this is where we're going to talk about the best faith. We're going to break this down for you, and you're going to understand how when God is with us, our circumstances are on the other side. And man, when we got faith in God, we're ready for the battles and the storms of our life. In Luke chapter 7, he says, now when he concluded all these things in the hearing of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders to the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one of them who should do this was worthy. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Talking about a Gentile here. And Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I do not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. Jesus was amazed. He says, you don't have to come here. You don't have to touch him. Just say the word. Just say the word. I got it. I know it works. And Jesus says in verse 8, for I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to them, go, and he goes. Another come, and he comes. And to the servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. even with my children, even with my beloved, even with all, I have never seen this kind of faith. The quality and the quantity of this faith changed Jesus. And he even mentions it. And he goes on a story, and he was healed. So he had so much faith. You know, we're like this now. We as Christians, we want to see it so we can believe it. This man didn't even need to see it. He just believed it. That's faith. That's a faith that changes. That's a faith that blesses. That's a faith that changes our circumstances to the other side of my life. Faith moves mountains. Faith is just not an intellectual experience. It transcends intellect. See, there's some people who always try to figure out God and try to understand this. If you're a Bible scholar and a student, faith has nothing to do. It's more than my faith is radical. You think Moses believed that he put that water in the, that stick in the water, that it would just divide? Can you imagine, Noah building a boat? How can you think that up? How can you follow your intellect? Faith in God is more to intellect. Faith transcends intellect. Faith is the trust of God. Listen to this. Faith is just not believing, it's trusting. It's trusting God. It's more than an abstract knowledge. Faith is saying yes to God's will. When you can't understand it, you just trust Him. He's there for us. Just trust Him. It's one thing to believe in Him and to have faith, but faith, when it begins to trust Him, we can't understand. We just trust God. So the radical part of faith is so important. There's a familiar story in the Old Testament that I want to help you to get, and I want to help you to understand this. If you have your Bibles at home and turn to Daniel chapter 3, I'd like for you to follow along. And I want you to pay attention to this because you're going to learn some things about faith here. You're going to learn to think it's more than your mind can comprehend. It's more than intellect. It's a trust in a God in a very special way. And I want to break it down so you can understand it. I want to break it down to three levels that God will help us understand that. There is good faith. There is better faith. And then there's the best. I want to teach you the difference between good faith, better faith, and the best. There's a big difference in life. There's a big difference in storms. Believing in God, all that God does in our life. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, he was an evil man. He made a law, he made a decree. That people are going to start playing some music and sound all the musical instruments in the world. And when they hear that, wherever they are to bow down to a golden calf that he made. He was so narcissistic himself. He wanted everybody to love him. He wanted everybody to worship him. He had the power. He had the authority. And so it was done. In verse 6, and whatsoever does not fall down and worship all, be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. So he says, if you see anyone out there that will not bow down, we're going to throw them in the furnace and let them know. And the story goes on, and the God began to work in their lives. He says in verse 11, and whoever does not fall down shall worships be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you had set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Man, when Nebuchadnezzar heard that, he went nuts. What do you mean? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know the story in the fiery furnace. But let me help you understand about faith in this journey. Faith is a part of their lives and what God wanted. They wanted him to bow down to this golden image. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to him, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. We're not even going to bring it up. I'm not bowing down to gold. I got a God. I'm not bowing down to your ways. I'm going to follow the God who delivered us into the Red Sea and we walked to the other side. I am going to have that God, so I'm not even going to discuss this matter with you. He says, I believe in a living God. He's a God who works with us. He's a God who's with us. That's good faith. Man, they had good faith. They wouldn't even entertain a golden calf. Can you imagine thousands of people when the music was played was bound and there's three heads standing up? Can you imagine the pressure? Can you imagine the concern, the fiery furnace? He said, guys, the God that I serve is bigger than a golden calf. That's good faith. That faith, he does not allow us to comprehend. It's elementary faith, but it's good faith. They had learned one thing in all the years of discipline in their lives, that there is a Jehovah God. And they learned that they will not bow down to any God. That's good faith. You know, somehow or another, we don't have to know everything about God to have faith in Him. We don't have to understand everything about God. Let me just tell you this. In this elementary faith, in this good faith, God is God. We never understand it. His ways are not our ways. And I want you to understand this. But I can trust Him. Let me share this with you. Kathy and I have been married for 50 years. I have faith in our love. I don't understand all about Kathy. Lord, I don't understand a whole bunch about Kathy. But I love her anyway. But I'm not afraid. I don't check up on her. I don't look at her phone. I don't see what she's been doing. I just trust her. She is my wife. I can't comprehend everything. I don't know. But sometimes you think in order for you to trust God, you got to comprehend and figure God out. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind. That's good faith. And you can love one another. See, somehow or another, we become so academia, we've got to figure it out before we can trust it. I want you to know faith is in God. I want you to trust it, and I'll help you figure it out. Don't bow down. I don't care what will happen to you. Don't have to understand God. Just trust God. Just believe in God. God is and God does, plus nothing. So when you come to a storm, have good faith. Have good faith, just believing that God is there. And you don't have to dialogue and to see if God's right and if He's fair. He is right. He is fair. He is love. That's good faith. Now let me take you to better faith. Verse 17. If that is the case, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Now, these are some weird guys. Who in the world can get delivered in a fiery furnace? This is better faith. Here's better faith. And I want you to get this. Better faith is our God acts in the affairs of our lives. He's present. If I have to be and get thrown in my fire furnace, my God will be with me. See, God's not just a bystander. He's just not some busy God who's taking care of everything in the world. He's a God who knows our lives. He knows our needs. And right now, it's better faith. He says, God will deliver me in the greatest storm of my life if I could just not bow down. God, help me to stand. All the pressure for me to bow. Don't let me stand. Let me have some better faith. Let me take it a step further. Let me just say that I trust my God so much in the storm that I live in that my storm isn't bigger than my God. I used to tell God all the time how big my storm was. And then I learned this. It's better faith. Now I tell my storm how big my God is. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They say it's hot. It may burn up, but my God will be a part of my journey. I will not stop. I will not quit. I will not be afraid. I go forward because God's involved in my life. That's better faith. And better faith will change your life. And be careful. The storm becomes so big. The news becomes so contagious. You may be the only one standing. Thank God for good faith. It's elementary. God is and God does. I don't even have to understand Him. I just believe in Him. But better faith is I trust Him so much, I will go to the fire from Him. Now, Christians, I want you to get this. Faith doesn't always deliver us from the fire. Faith will deliver us in the fire. And church, you wonder why America's lost? You wonder why evil's running? You wonder why we do so little for Him in the kingdom of God? It's because we don't have enough faith to get in the furnace. we stop with good faith and we left to stay right there. Got it? It's so easy to stop right there. I'm glad I'm saved. I believe God hears my prayers. I'm going to heaven when I die. But standing when everybody's sitting, God, I can't go there. Well, when you build your faith, these guys, they said, if this is the case, our God whom we serve, as they deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, deliver us from your hand, O King. See, this God is involved in my life. Christian, don't ever forget that. The devil's out to rob and steal and kill your faith. He's out to keep you elementary in your faith. He needs some men in God who will stand for God and love God even when the world turns away from God. In the pandemic, far too many Christians wonder where God is when he's right there. Good faith just says he's there and you got it. Better faith says he's involved in the affairs of my life. He will never harm me. He will always be with me. He will always change my life. Aren't you glad that God delivers us in every storm of our life? Let me just share this with you. Let me get to best faith. You ready? Write down best faith. Verse 18. But if not, if I burn up, my God don't burn up. If I die, my God won't die. If I lose, my God never loses. But if I die, don't ever presume in your faith you can tell God how to end your story. There's not always a Noah's Ark to float off in. Sometimes we die for God. Think about the thousands of martyrs across this world who've given it up and died for the blood of Christ because they wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bend. They took a stand, and God bless them. If I die, God's still God. That's best faith. When you don't even have to see it, but you can believe it. But if be, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which we have set up. My faith can't be pressured away. It's the best. If I die serving God, how better way to walk into the kingdom? Though I walk through the very valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. God, death is just a shadow. It can't hurt me. I'll wake up in glory. But if I die, let me ask you something. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he's the Savior of the world? He died for you? That's good faith. Elementary, it's good faith. God is. Do you believe that God's involved in the affairs of your life? Do you believe in your house maybe of loneliness today? Or maybe of confusion? Or maybe of worry? Do you have enough faith to know that God died for you and what he did on the cross was big enough for every storm I face? If I would just have enough faith to stand, I could see that. It's the best faith. See, best faith don't bargain with God. Best faith don't condition with God. It just does his will. It's like Jesus in the garden. Okay, Father, thy will be done. May thy God will be done. God, I surrender to you. That's best faith. So let me just quickly ask you, where are you at in your faith life? Are you really walking with the Savior? Are you walking by faith? As he leads you, do you follow? Is he involved in the daily activity of your life? Does he know when you have a fever? Does he know when your heart's broke? Yes, he does. Do you walk with him in those times? Or do you question him and say, God, if you're really there, why don't you stop this? God says, I'm really there. And the devil's created a storm, but I want to tell you how big I am. I'm bigger than your storm. I can't close right there. I got to throw this in. Let me tell you something. When God does a miracle, he doesn't do it for the moment. He does it for the future. The miracle wasn't they looked in that fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar, and seen four guys. That wasn't for the moment. It was for the future. He doesn't waste miracles. He uses miracles for the long haul. If God gives me a miracle, I am to go out and proclaim the greatness and the power and the love of Christ. I should share my story because my story will change other people's lives. My story may move people from good faith to better faith. It's an example. We must hitchhike. We must find that faith. It means everything to us. Let me tell you something. As a pastor, there's been many seasons in my life that I became so broken as a pastor. My faith becomes so shattered. My problem becomes so big. I would go to church and just hang out with some of my dear saints who love Jesus and talk to them. They brought me along. I kind of hitchhiked on their faith on a Sunday so I could preach the Word of God. But thank God somebody in that auditorium had something better than good faith. They had better faith. And better faith made me better. And best faith would change a world. Verse 25. Lord, he said, I see four men loose walking in the midst of that fire. And they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. This artistic, self-centered man. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. I don't know if they'd want to come out. It's okay in here, man. It's not as bad as you think. We're making it. God's with us. Let me tell you something. People used to ask me all the time, Brother Ron, are you scared to take these mission trips? You know, my biggest fear is getting past New York. The way I read the world today, there's more evil in New York City than probably any city in the world. My fear is not if I get hurt. My fear is saying no to God because I'm afraid. That's my biggest fear. And it's easy done. And I've done it many times. We all have. So Nebuchadnezzar's learning something. He's learning that their God is bigger than him. He's learning that his golden calf means nothing. He's learning, and he's the dadgum king. Verse 25, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel, delivered his servants, and trusted in him. And they were frustrated, and they had frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies. They should not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree. I make a law. I make a law that any people or nation or language which speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut off, cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made of ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this one. Oh, man! Best faith goes so far. Even the king got in on the story. Now, this isn't a Bible story just for kids. This is a Bible story for preachers, Sunday school teachers, children. They have best faith in our lives. We don't never presume how God's going to handle my situation. But here's what I'll tell you. When God's handling it, if I die, I die. He knows what he's doing. I wake up in heaven. I will not be pushed down. I'll be not manipulated. I want to walk by faith and see the majesty of the love of Christ. And quickly, I just want to connect this to New Testament. Can I take a moment to do that? Let me connect it to the New Testament. The life of Peter. I'll be preaching tonight how to stay near to God. Peter sure messed that up several times, and God taught him how to stay near. Don't miss tonight. Look at Peter's life. You can watch his faith grow. Started one day, Jesus is walking to the Sea of Galilee, and he looked at these fishermen down there, Peter and Andrew, and he says, hey, guys, why don't you just put down that old boat and oars and nets? Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. You know what Peter did? You know what they did? They dropped everything. And they took off with Jesus. They're walking down the road with God because they put their faith in him. That was good faith. They knew he was God. Isn't that great? Many other people didn't know he was God. But see, it was elementary faith. It was just starting out. So Peter exercised good faith. He believed in Christ and he made the commitment. God, let's go. So they're going together. Let me get you to better faith. One day, in a boat. It was in a storm. The disciples were there for fear of dying. The storm was so bad. And Jesus comes walking on water in that storm. And you know what Peter did? He got out of that boat. And he walked on water. He took a step or two. We all know he sunk. But don't forget this. He walked on water. Amen? You know what that is? That's better faith. God's going to be involved in my life. He's so involved in my life, I can get out of this boat in the biggest waves I've ever seen and trust Him. He's involved in my life. And Peter took off and went towards Jesus. And the storms and the waves didn't stop him because he had so much faith. He was a good faith. He began to become fishers of men. It was a better faith. When he seen the storm out in the middle of it, he didn't hunker down in the boat and pray. He got out and walked on water because he moved with better faith. Can you see his faith growing? Then lastly, Peter. He goes to best faith. Peter in Acts chapter 5 was thrown in jail, comrades, for preaching the gospel. They locked him up inside of jail, stuck down there. And at midnight, God rattled cages and opened the doors and Peter's out. He's loose. He didn't run away. He went down the corner and started preaching. Just got thrown in jail earlier, threatened with his life. And they're looking for him. If we find this guy, we're going to kill him. He said, don't get mad. I'm preaching the gospel to these people, and I'm not afraid. Verse 25, Acts 5. Then one came and told him, saying, look, the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. They're back in church. Then the captain went and the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people that should be stoned. Saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, and you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, intend to bring this man's blood on us? Here's what Peter said. Then Peter said, and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You may run the show around here, but my God is the show. And I would rather obey my God than you, sir. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I just spent a couple nights in there. I made it. If I got to spend some more in there, I trust my God. He can set me free. If I die, I die. Because he threatened his life. But I'd rather obey God than man. The same exact faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had in the fiery furnace. He started out in good faith. I hope that you're born again. You can't almost get saved. You either are or you're not. I want you to know, in the storms of your life is where you will find out how big God is, if you just let Him. He will transfer. He'll be the heat shield around that faith so you continue to love Him and trust Him and walk with Him along life's narrow ways. I want you to have that faith. I want you to maybe get to a better faith. He's involved in the affairs of my life. I'm not by myself. Even though we are separated, our God is with us. If you're the loneliest you've ever been in your life, just talk to God. He's listening. Just open up your heart. Share them all your worries and cares. He's a care. God cares for you. No one loves you like Jesus. No one's more present in your life, Jesus. Just bring Him up. He's got to show up. In your loneliness, in your confusions, in your problems, just come next to God and your problems will be there, but they'll be between the world and not in your heart because God will be with you. That's best faith. So you wonder the end of the answer to that question, how's this pandemic going to affect me? What's it going to be like after it's over? Well, this pandemic, God's with us. He's a healer. He's a supplier. But if I die, he's still God, and I'm with him more than ever. Don't be afraid. May the best faith that you've ever experienced bring you closer to him. And I pray that you'll begin to pray. And the Bible says, now listen to this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I pray today that maybe you're just in a good faith, and thank God you're there. You know, let me tell you something, church member. I want you to get this. I've been pastoring for a long time, and I've heard this 1,000 times, 1,000 different ways. People tell me they can miss church and come back anytime they want. The only truth is that's the biggest lie ever told. If the devil can take you away from church for 2 weeks, it's a lot easier to take you for the 3rd week and the 4th week and the 5th week. Once you get out of worship, once you get out of that touching by God, it's easy to fall away. Good faith. Man, you're with him. But you need to have better faith because we've been apart. It's tough. I don't know the answer to this. But I know that better faith will allow you to God to be involved in the affairs of your life at your address, where you live, where you work. He's involved in the affairs of my life. You need that faith. You need that faith to get back here. You need that faith to protect your love for Christ because the world is going to offer you so much more. You know that I've read this week that alcohol consumption across America has doubled in the last 4 weeks. Alcohol consumption. You know, there's more people drunk at work than have ever been. They're at home, but they're drunk. Think about that. Pornography is tripled. I forget how many billion times it's hit every hour across our world. Pornography. Abuse is rampant. Let me just share with you. If the devil can stop our faith, he will have a heyday in our address. But our faith is strong. Our address is protected by the love of God. So when the opportunity comes to worship, if you want to Skype, if you want to Zoom, join fellowship, you call people and pray on the phone, just call people, call your family and pray with them on the phone. Just touch them. Don't be quiet. It's your family. Love them. Your church family. Encourage them. If you know lonely people in your family who live by themselves, they're out there, give them a call. Build your faith. Be courageous. Change the world. By faith I got saved. And by faith I can change a world through the God who lives in us, individually and collectively. Roxanne shared a good illustration today with us. We're talking about how the church is separated and how it affects us. She heard a pastor or a teaching, I forget where she heard that from this morning. Alistair Begg? Okay, was sharing a story about when you go to coals of fire and they're all burning, you take one coal out and set it on the side. That coal will go out pretty quick. We're all on the side. We're not here in the body no more. And we need to stay in this body. We need to be praying about this. We don't need to go cold. We need to keep our faith where it needs to be. If you're having problems with your marriage, let me share this with you. Marriage problems have increased. All the time you have spent together, if you're not in love and trusting one another, the problems have exacerbated. The financial pressures are tremendous. You need to increase your faith so your love for God will be protected in the journey of your storm. We're going to have this invitation hymn, and I'm going to ask if they will come right now and begin to share with us. We're going to give an invitation. The invitation is real simple. If you have never met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you would like to know that's for sure, that's good faith. Just come and follow him. He'll make you fishes of men. Just by faith, drop what you're doing and say, God, I need Jesus in my heart. He doesn't make you a Baptist, a Methodist, a Catholic, or Lutheran, or no religion. He makes you a child of God. You're free to serve where you will, but you need to be in a church that's his bride. But if you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you sometimes wonder if I've even got good faith, because I'm so easily distracted, I want to ask you right now, if you're not sure you're saved, you can't get resaved, but you can be sure you're saved. I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to make this your prayer so God can live in your heart. I can't save you. Prayer doesn't save you. God saves you, but he uses prayer to do the work. So if you would like to just ask God today to shore up my life, to know that I'm a believer, and take the circumstances of this pandemic and put God with me, and I'm not by myself, that is better faith. But if you would pray this prayer and know believing that Christ can save you right where you are, he'll do it today. I'm going to pray this prayer. You repeat it. Make it your prayer. And make it your declaration to God. He will hear you. Let me just pray this prayer with you right now. Say these words. Say, Dear Jesus, help me. Help me to believe. Help me to be forgiven. Forgive my sins. I believe that you died on that cross, and I believe you rose from the dead. I'm asking you to forgive all my sins through the sacrifice of that cross. Come into my heart. Save me. Use me. Oh God, use me. It's so lonely without you, God, but use me. Bring me back to fellowship. Increase my faith. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now, if you're here today as a church family and you want to ask God to increase your faith, as we sing this song, maybe in your living room, maybe you're watching this on a phone, the guy tells me today he listens to these sermons in the gym working out. Wherever you may be, just ask God to strengthen you and to give you more faith, the best faith. As we sing, make that decision.